You're listening to the Brave Parent Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Susan Maples. I'm here for all parents who deeply love their children and want their health span to equal their lifespan. In other words, to be healthy their entire lives. If that's you, tune in. In every episode, we're grappling with contemporary issues that affect every child every day in areas that your doctors either don't know or don't have time to tell you. It's your time to be brave. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Brave Parent Podcast. I'm Dr. Susan Maples, your host and author of Brave Parent. And with me is Lauren Eckhart, my partner in crime in this wonderful podcast series. And she is a very dedicated mom and the founder of Burning Soul Press and also my book coach and great friend. So thank you for being here, Lauren.
And we have no fun on this podcast whatsoever.
I know, right? We've had a great time. This has been season one where we've literally just really worked our way through some of the most key principles of the book. And then we're going to start introducing some more guests and having a great deal of more fun as we expand. But this is the last chapter of the book, and it's called Move, and it's on exercise science or exercise habits or exercise in general, movement in your kids. And it is, for me, my personal favorite because I literally transformed my life through exercise at a young age. I was a child and who was sick, and many of you know my story by now, but I was raised by two parents who smoked two packs a day each. And so I was born without a good lung capacity and 52 allergies indoors because of that. I was hospitalized several times for pneumonia. I had a sedentary lifestyle. And my sedentary lifestyle led to some prediabetes and weight gain and, just a sort of a life that was just very average. And I had a physician who literally coached me back to health through exercise. And what I want to say right up front is you cannot out-train a bad diet. So along with that, she was helping me learn to eat better. And I started riding my bike to the grocery store, literally grocery shopping for my family with panniers on my bike at a fairly young age with my mom's, agreed to let me do that. But I think that the exercise piece was huge for me because she taught me about lung function and why lungs need to be expanded in order to absorb more oxygen, to build more. And we need to be able to tax our lungs through some aerobic activity. I didn't realize that my congestion in my lungs could actually change by taxing it. Whenever we move a muscle, we injure the muscle. That's what sore muscles are. And that's how we build nice, strong muscles, right? This doesn't come from lying around. Now, I have to say, it's not all about show, right? For me, maintaining muscle strength is about bone strength. It's about the fact that muscles burn 3.5 times more calories at rest than fat. So it's about maintaining my weight. It's about feeling strong. It's about being able to catch myself if I slip and know that if I put solid strength on one leg, that my muscle is going to be strong enough to catch me and hold me up and I'm not falling down. There's a lot of really good reasons for muscles, but I would say just like that, cardiovascular health taxes your cardiovascular system that builds strong vascularity, arterial health, lung function, like all of that. So I don't need to go on and on to tell you the benefits of exercise because I'm making you feel guilty by sitting and listening to this podcast right now, but
maybe they're moving and listening to it.
That's a good point. You could be out walking and listening to it. Great. I love
that. And if you're not, put a pause on this, go find your tennis shoes and go for a walk.
So I really, really strongly believe that we know that we're wired to move, but somehow in our world where everything got unsafe outside, and we stopped feeling like we had the time to exercise because we don't live in an agricultural society. We drive, we park as close to the building as we can. We take an elevator to where we work. Maybe we sit at our desk and we come home. We got stuff to do and oh my gosh, the whole day slipped. I didn't have time to move my body. And so One thing I will tell you is that the literature clearly shows that parents or caregivers who exercise daily give the child the notion that that's what we do to care for our bodies, and they grow up to be more regular exercisers. So one of the best things you can do for your child's health is to demonstrate how important it is for you to move.
Key themes throughout everything. If you want to help your child, demonstrate it, model it yourself.
But you know how it is, Lauren, you work a lot and you're feeling guilty that you don't have enough time for your kids sometimes. And the last thing you want to do is carve out another 45 minutes, just me time.
But you know, it's not though, right? I mean, that's been my reframe. And I think I told you, Susan, it started. So Susan and I started working together on her book last year.
COVID, I don't know. It's a long time.
Yeah. And at that time, I mean, exercise was important, but I think I was doing it like maybe 2-3 times a week if I was lucky. But when I was doing it, I was bringing in my 5-year-old at the time, who's now 6, and, you know, would incorporate it with him. However, from going through this book, specifically the Move chapter, I realized that it's not me time necessarily. I still call it me time because it feels special, but by now I work out 5 times a week and I've been doing it consistently for 4 months now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I made myself be held accountable by investing in a trainer, right? Because otherwise I wasn't doing it on my own. And I recognized that. And so now I'm accountable essentially to someone else, but it's what I call my non-negotiable time, 5 days a week. It's my non-negotiable, no matter with work, no matter what else is going on. And sometimes I take the kids with me, and they'll sit there, read some books while I'm working out with the trainer. And what I've realized is that they now know that's mama's time. Like, they know mama has gone to the gym today. They know it's a part of my daily routine and they see the difference in me. They get to witness me doing it. And I know it's making a difference for them.
So you're talking a lot about psychological health, and that's amazing, but it's also insulin resistance goes down. Ooh. We have, and when we look at, muscle physiology, brain alertness, less need for caffeine, all of those things, right? It's a great elixir. Yep. I want to ask, what do you do on the 2 days a week that you're not scheduled with a trainer?
So those are Saturday and Sunday. And as a family, we go on, you know, multiple walks a day with a dog. We're still moving. I don't feel right if I'm not moving because it's become a part of my daily.
Right. Avenue. And we don't sleep as well. Nope. We don't justify the calories we're eating because if we're just functioning at basal metabolic rate without pumping it up with some exercise, we're really not burning the normal calories that we should be, all of that, right?
Yep.
We're storing more calories, feel worse. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. You know, it's true. I mean, you know, just again, just as people, right, we tend to analyze our body and a lot of times we'll relate that to fitness, even though there are all of these additional benefits, but it's true. Like on the weekends, you know, like during the weekdays, I'll wake up and I'll feel toned, right, from the workout from the day before, but then on the weekends, it feels a little bit more sluggish and I can feel like a difference in my body. And you're spot on with that, even on the sleep factor.
I noticed as a teenager, and I used to tell everyone this, like, it seems to me to be the great elixir of everything that's ailing me. If I'm sluggish, it pumps me up. If I'm hyper, it relaxes me. Mm-hmm. If I'm hungry, it takes the edge off my appetite. Hungry for no reason. Like hungry. It seems like, why am I hungry? If I'm full, a good walk will take away that fullness and remind me that I should never eat till I'm full. But it's really an amazing way to and by the way, you know, I always say when you want muscle on your body, this takes a bit to show up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, because you've been training your body. But what doesn't take a bit to show up is what's happening in your blood.
Yes.
You're dropping your blood sugar and you're bringing yourself back to homeostasis by just a 10-minute walk. Mm-hmm. So again, when I walk with an exercise band, I'm doing my upper body at the same time, But, you know, or running or whatever it is you want to do. But I think just moving. And when we start talking about kids and movement, modeling that is super important. We've tended to not exercise as much ourselves, or even if we do, we do it during our private time. Mm-hmm. And then we relegate their workouts to the coaches that are out there helping them with their organized sports. And what happens when the season comes to an end?
Then what?
Then what? So I love the fact that you're engaging your kids in activity, both in your home, because I know you have a place to work out at home where your son was helping, literally helping you design your workout, right?
Yep. And he's still trying
about it in the book.
Yep.
You in the book. And also the idea that we choose some things that we enjoy doing together. And I think this has been a huge deal. I have to say, when I was interviewing Hunter, I interviewed a bunch of people, a bunch of my kids, 25 to 30 year olds, I say kids in quotes, to say, how did you get to be a daily exerciser? Like all of my nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And they did it a lot around me because it was a big thing that I would engage them always in this. Mm-hmm. And my godchildren, and I called them and said, so how did you do it? And they were like, I asked Hunter, like, how did you get to be a daily exerciser? He's like, is that even a legit question? He's like, we held exercise like Bible status right up there with the Bible in our family. He's like, that's not even a fair question. I don't even know what it was like not to exercise daily. It was expected. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. I mean, when he grew up, as long as it was safe, a safe place for him to ride his bike to school, I'm like, why should I drive you? You have a bike.
Yeah.
I know I expected a lot, but he, you know, responded. Of course, he became a very, very talented, competitive athlete in a lot of ways, but especially in skiing. But he was, skiing was a sport that we could do as a family.
Mm.
But so is camping and yoga and hiking and bicycling and snowshoeing and golf and things that you can do as a family. And snowshoeing doesn't take a lot of
money.
You buy snowshoes as a Christmas gift and you have forever have them, but you have to have snow. So if you don't live in a snowy environment, that doesn't work. But I mean, if you can build in more fun, like you can always have music, so you can always dance.
Always dance,
right?
Love our dance parties.
Yeah, sure. And then kids also know how to dance, which yes. is great. So they feel yep. more confident when they get in social situations. But
and then, you know, with that too, Susan, I mean, I think we even discussed a little bit on a previous episode, but you know, we start getting into Cosmic Kids Yoga on YouTube. So there's a lot of free YouTube stuff and it's so fun because, you know, she takes like a new game or book or something and creates yoga around it. And it's very visual appealing, but then they're moving their bodies. And we used to do it before bedtime because we're like an hour before bedtime, but it would yes. like calm them down, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Super critically important. So the whole idea of getting your move on, like getting you know, letting kids know that part of what we do to be healthy is we work our bodies every day. We build a little stamina for some movement.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't constitute as movement. Neither does the channel changer while you're watching your favorite sports teams. Yeah. That is not sports. That's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Sport is when you play the sport, right? Or do the thing. So I love, in the book, I talk a lot about my love-hate relationship with organized sports and professional sports and,
yeah.
and all of that. But I really think that carryover sports are ones that we want to invest in. Sports where kids grow up to continue to enjoy them. That doesn't mean they can't have basketball or soccer as a carryover sport. They can. They just need an organized team to be able to do that and they need to go after it. But it is important that they have, even between seasons, and even on vacation, other ways to get exercise that might be enjoyable, right?
Agreed. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's the whole, yeah, you know, moving, getting them moving, seeing what else is out there, challenging their bodies in new ways as well, which I feel like is really important, because if they're playing the same sports time and time and time and again, right? Like giving them new challenges, giving them the opportunity to like new things or to prove to themselves new skills, new talents, new interests that they didn't realize they had before. I feel like all of that's very important with it. We brought out the Frisbee. We were doing that for like day after day.
Love Frisbee. Love smash ball, which is this little paddle with a little rubber ball. We can just hit back and forth. Love
everything
from bean bags and, you know, croquet and anything you can do. Those are fun. Kids love that.
It's so fun. And they see it as a new challenge, a new skill that they're learning. And they're seeing themselves get better and better each time. It's fun.
It's interesting that, you know, when Michelle Obama was first lady and she took on childhood obesity with the goal to wipe out childhood obesity in one generation, obviously that did not happen. Mm-hmm. But it's when I read her biography, I mean, I realized she was really up against food lobbyists and food manufacturers in general. And they get to win, and there's no question, but we ought to be fighting back. And so she sort of picked the Get Move, Let's Move campaign. And, you know, they established that whole task force on childhood obesity. But what she focused on was really the millions and millions of children, even under the age of 5. And when I say millions, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, 39 million under the age of 5. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Are counted in the overweight or obese category. And they're set up for a whole host of adult metabolic disease by the time they're 30. And it's so sad. So the idea that we get kids moving is critically important. And now we even have guidelines for toddlers on movement. Like normally it'd be like, you guys settle down. Now it's like, you guys get off the couch, right? Or I should say the worst thing that we ever had to suffer for punishment when I was a kid was go to your room. There's nothing in our room to do, but when we wanted to be playing outside, it was a big like time out.
Yeah.
Now it's like, get out of your room, go out and play. Like you can't, and you literally don't feel safe even letting your kids just go out and play.
Yeah.
So finding areas that are safe for kids to do outdoor activity is really important. That they commune with nature and feel like part of this earth. There is a spiritual component.
Oh gosh, yes.
The play outside, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I wrote about that extensively in the book because it was one of my favorite little parts to write, spirituality through physical activity. And what does that mean to be part of the environment? I was having a conversation with Hunter, who was, my son coaches a free ride, which is a top to bottom, very strenuous ski sport. And then he moves on to guide whitewater. Right now he's on the Grand Canyon. He guides whitewater as a trip leader for a couple of different companies. And he told me about a message he received from a fellow wilderness guide who they all referred to as a spirit guide. He said, we're continually searching for the place where our hearts first opened. Let me say that again. We're continually searching for the place where our hearts first opened. And I said, well, that's so interesting, honey. Tell me about where your heart first opened. And he basically said, on my first bicycle, he said, I had a sense of independence. Like I could go anywhere and explore everything. And he still loves cycling, especially mountain biking. And I will say that as I started to ask my everyday exerciser kids where their hearts first opened, I got exercise, believe it or not. I got like when I first started running, I could go anywhere and explore anything. Or, you know, for me, I realized it was the first time I was on skis and my family wasn't a skiing family. So I went with my girlfriend at a ski club and literally just standing. I also remember water skiing on the back of an old fishing boat that was my dad's friend's. And I got up and I'm standing on water and I was like, wow. Like it was so powerful, right? So I think that there's something about outdoor play and activity, whether it's bouldering on a hike or walking on a beach or, you know, fly fishing or, you know, fishing on the side of a river where you're, you know, canoeing out or trying to find places, like that's all movement.
Yeah.
It all requires movement. It's not sitting and participating behind a screen. And those are the kind of things I think we need to continue to foster. When you're outdoors moving in fresh air, it really is powerful.
And might I also recommend, because this is something, again, that I feel like has been an awareness of mine over the past few months, is truly making it a value, a priority of your family. You know, you kind of have to declare that, right? And then you have to truly prove it. But I found myself even yesterday, despite the fact how important exercise has been to me and getting the kids out and all of that, even yesterday, I was exhausted, went to go pick the kids up. All I wanted to do was go back and just kind of chill and cuddle them, maybe throw on a movie or something like that. And my six-year-old kept going, "Can we go to the park? Can we go to the park? Can we go to the park?" And my first reaction was, "No, like I'm tired. I don't want to go and play at a park." And then as we were coming back, I'm like, "Lauren, no, like you got to stop this. It's very important to go back.
How about you right now?"
Yes. Yes. And I feel like, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only like busy working parent who falls into that. But if your kid's begging to go outside, like lean into that. There's a reason. I love that he was choosing that and not asking to watch a movie or anything like that. So you got to
love that.
Yeah.
And setting good examples. When you think about, like even I remember taking Hunter to a game, a sports game, or going to it and realizing during the pregame or while the game that is not Hunter, I would just walk or run the perimeter of that instead of sitting in the stands. And then when the game would start, I would sit and watch or stand at the fence and watch. Uh-huh. But idea of using every little time that you have to set that example while they're exercising. But what did you do in the park when you got there? Did you sit and watch or did you?
A little bit of both. Sat and watched them for a little bit, but then we were also doing these like challenges of, you know, going back up the slide the opposite way. There's like this horse. So like we were doing like little like touch here, go, like, so it was fun. So it was a mix, you know. Sometimes I would sit and watch them, other times I'd get in there and play with them.
I find I can in any playground, I can find things even for me to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, grab onto a post and do some
yes,
you know, like wall sits or do some, you know, squats or, you know, kind of look at what you can do to do some assisted push-ups, anything like that. Now you obviously don't want to embarrass your kids if they're like, "Mom, please don't be doing that." But
you know what? They love it. At least right now, again, 4 and 6,
yeah, right?
Like when I'm going up the slide with them, like they love that stuff. Like going up the wrong way, right? Like mom is rebelling too and going up the wrong way. But you know, it's fun for them to see you engaged in absolutely that way and being a kid and not just guiding or being the adult or the authority all the time. So I mean, I know it's a little different, but still it's one of those things that I feel like, you know, we'll go places and there's chairs and I'll sit on the floor, you know, or like random things like that, where it's like, I think by moving and being a piece of what they're doing, it helps them see you in a new light too, that you're not just the one telling them what to do all the time or making the decisions. They're kind of guiding the games a lot of times.
What I find is some of the things that we enjoy doing for exercise cost money. And if I say that, what comes to mind for you? If you think, gosh, I wish my family could do more of this, but it costs too much. What is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Maybe, you know, we were doing a, back in Illinois, we were doing like an indoor bouldering gym and they had like a really cool kids section. I think that's something I wish we could do more of.
Outdoor bouldering or indoors?
Indoor bouldering. So it's not quite outdoors, but still indoors. And it's, you know, good exercise. Right.
But it costs money.
Oh yeah. A lot of money for all of us.
Yeah. Yep. So that's the kind of thing, like a gym club, that kind of thing. And if you were to say like outdoor bouldering, but I don't have any near me, and so I would have to get on a plane or drive to a place where, or a river. I mean, those are things you want to put on your list for Christmas gifts instead of stuff.
Yeah.
Experiences instead of stuff. Those are things they remember. You know, I know some kids like stuff. We teach them to like stuff, right? But the whole idea that we can relegate some of the cost we would normally spend on things that we buy them and shift them over toward experiences.
Yes.
And you put together a collage, or you put together a little PowerPoint, or you put together, you gather some artifacts of things that they're going to experience and let them open those things and get clues to what it is. And maybe it's a trip to go bouldering in up north Michigan. I can tell you exactly where to go. Anyway, the whole idea is that we're going to go to a really cool big lake where there's big boulders, and we're going to climb around, and that's, you guys like bouldering indoors, wait till you have it outdoors, that kind of thing. And maybe it's camping equipment or something like that, that we're going to buy as a family because we're going to do some camping this year. Yeah. So instead of like trying to get them, what's on your Christmas list? What is it that Santa, you know, or whatever, just the idea that we're going to invest in things that bring us joy, that things that we can do for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, looking back, those are the big kahuna, the things you do together, not the things you buy for them.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And then, I mean, like you said, even if if you are looking at things, I mean, like games that do get them moving, right, that you can also play with them. Like you've talked about Twister before and other things like that. Yeah. I mean, really thinking more about not just sitting there doing something, like how do you move and incorporate all of that is good a question.
Some of you may have kids that are not as coordinated or maybe have a physical disability. Mm-hmm. You know, getting creative about how to enjoy things together is even more critically important. You know, my dental assistant has a stepdaughter who's doesn't have a leg. She had cancer, and like she's really, really good on her prosthetic leg now. And they do a lot of things together, but you know, organized parts aren't, you know, kind of her thing, right? So after what she's been through. So, you know, it's constantly finding what are those fun things that you guys can do as a family that, you know, allow her to experience that same level of movement. I can tell you that my brother, Jim, had some disabilities. He had an eye that crossed and he didn't have good depth perception. He had two legs that crossed, or his feet were turned in too. And he ended up, wearing leg braces. But anyway, the uncoordination of traditional sports meant that my dad had to come up with cool things. And we did, we built an ice boat and we ice boated and we went, you know, we did all kinds of cool things that got Jim. And now he's a daily exerciser too, but I mean, he wasn't a competitive athlete. He would have missed entirely the beauty of outdoor exercise and movement if it hadn't been for my parents saying like, what can we do, right? So it's an awesome thing to be able to introduce non-traditional types of sports or movement for kids that you can do as a family and enjoy. And even if you're learning it.
You know? 100%. I mean, we always pass on the way to one of my kids' schools, some store, but they always have like kayaks on the outside. And every time I pass them, I'm like, oh, one of these days, like I want to take the kids kayaking really badly. Sure. I mean, like you said, there are so many different options and, you know, variety of things. And I think sometimes we forget about what's really available that we could do and introduce them to and do as a family on top of it.
Love it. And even if you're on a vacation, staying in a hotel somewhere, try to get an efficiency and save money on food and spend money on activities, you know, go rent some stand-up boards or kayaks or do, instead of like eating out every meal, right?
Yeah.
Figure out what you can do to be more economical on one end, why you can spend your hard-earned dollars on activities rather than food.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I'm
gonna do it. Yeah.
So. I'm ready to get out and walk. So
I've got out this morning, but I'm going to go play a little pickleball. And
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun sport. I'm enjoying it. So that's up for this afternoon. So anyway, loved this, Lauren. Thank you all for being here with us. And you'll learn a lot more about movement in the Brave Parent section on movement. And this is going to be a wrap for season one. And I have amazing, exciting speakers that we're going to invite back onto our podcast starting with season two. So we hope you've enjoyed it and you're hooked and you tell your friends about it and dig in with us and keep learning.
And if you haven't yet, be sure to pick up your copy of Brave Parent by Dr. Susan Maples. And then also, if there are any other topics that you want to dive in deeper with, let us know, because we can cover those in season twos and future seasons as well. Thank you everyone for joining us. Until next time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Brave Parent podcast with your host, Dr. Susan Maples, author of Brave Parent, and Lauren Eckert, founder of Burning Soul Press. Be sure to leave a podcast review and grab your copy of Brave Parent on Amazon or Audible or wherever you prefer to buy your books. Bye for now.